Shalom, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. I'm not going to make that my thing. It's just that it's the high holidays, isn't it? I think it is. We had Rosh Hashanah the past couple days, and I know Yom Kippur's got to be right after it, and there's some other holiday in the middle. I don't know. But it's the high holidays. So, hi. Hi, it's Patrick Slattery on National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, the last place that they're still allowing free speech. And I shouldn't say they're still allowing free speech. We're just speaking freely. And also, we are downloading the Koshertified app. We are doing that from nationalbugle.com. It's the number one place to download the Koshertified app from. And it's the app that you want to have, you need to have, because we need to know what's kosher and what's not. And it is a light shining the way forward for everything that we need to do. It really is. Download it and you'll see. By the way, Jeremy, welcome to what is actually a very special show. This is our second anniversary show. We have been on RBN on a daily basis as a regular show for exactly 2 years now.
Well, it's an honor to be on this show then, Patrick. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and so it started on October 2nd, 2017. I had been doing it before then for a year and a few months as a weekly or so YouTube podcast. I'd been doing it. And then before that, I had filled in for Farron in 2016. I had filled in for Farron for about 3 months when he was doing something very important. And I was doing that. But 2 year anniversary as a regular show on the Republic Broadcasting Network. And, you know, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, that would be like, you know, 260 shows per year. There's a few holidays in there. But we are over 500 shows on RBN. We are over 500. And you know what that means?
No, what does that mean?
It means we're number one. It means we've done more episodes than the other guys, so we're number one, and we're better than they are.
Granted.
Okay, well, and one of the things that makes us so awesome is before we do these shows, which we're recording, but before we record these shows, you go and you find some interesting news stories that we can talk about. And what is first up this week?
Well, yes, you're correct. As I paint tirelessly for 10 to sometimes 12 hours a day, I hear interesting things, interesting content, and I run across interesting headlines. And so I send those to my email in a draft form, and then I pull them up later for you and I to discuss. And one of the things that caught my fancy was House Resolution 3106.
Hmm. 3106. Yeah. It sounds ominous. What's it all about?
It is extremely ominous. And it is basically Homeland Security is to collect data on domestic and international terrorism. That's what it's called, the Data Domestic International Terrorism Act. And what do you think domestic terrorism is code word for, if you were just going to take a guess? Do you think it's Muslims? Do you think it's camel jockeys?
No. Is it us?
No. Yeah. The Muslim thing's been done to death. It is white people. It is anybody that would question the status quo, that is white, that does not want their homeland invaded. Maybe it's American patriots. Maybe it's white nationalists. I mean, it's a really broad net, and it really isn't defined because it has to do with ideology. And I believe we were talking before the show, you actually looked this up too, didn't you?
Well, yeah, I tried to slog through the text of the legislation. And on the surface, it seems to try to provide some sort of privacy protection so that people who haven't been indicted yet won't have their they won't be doxxed. But yet, I mean, an indictment's just an accusation. And, you know, we're seeing the patterns. And they are indicting and convicting and imprisoning and throwing away the key on people who really didn't do nothing, literally, or if there are people. So it is pretty alarming, especially when you consider terrorism. Now, back when I was teaching, textbook definitions of terrorism could differ from book to book, but the working definition was always something like the use of violence, typically, you know, violence against random civilians, but the use of violence at a minimum, the use of violence in order to pursue political aims. Now, we're not using violence, but violence is being redefined so that speech is violence. Our speech is violence. Anything that they don't like, if we say it, that's violence. And because that speech they don't like is inherently political, all of a sudden we can be defined into being terrorists just by saying things that we can back up, saying things that our tribal friends say, simply quoting them. Simply quoting them can be terrorism if we say it in the wrong places. So I'm alarmed. Are you alarmed?
Well, a little bit. So if you and I are talking and we disagree with the status quo, we think that it's not proper for a foreign country to have a lobby that directs our Congress in the country, that directs our foreign policy. Is that violence? Is that violent speech? Are we conducting violence by having this radio show?
I mean,
maybe.
Yeah.
According to the 3106, where it's an ideology. I mean, that's really vague, isn't it? I've never done violence, nor will I ever do violence. Oppress people or anything of that nature. I'll certainly defend myself. But that's not violence. That's defense. Speech is not violence. But according to this 3106, they're trying to redefine what is violence, like you said. So a political ideology could be violence.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's, you know, like I say, I'm not a lawyer, and I did my best to slog through this. But here are the potential pitfalls I see with this, the potential hazards I see. That the Department of Homeland Security shall submit to the appropriate congressional committees, you know, like the ones headed by Adam Schiff, who, by the way, Nancy Pelosi actually did not call him the penis of Congress.
Schiff, oh God.
I mean, I thought when she said penis of Congress, she was referring to him, but she called me up and I think we got it cleared up. It was just kind of one of those things. Anyway, but Schiff and Nadler and Elliot Engel, so she'll submit to the appropriate congressional committees a report on international terrorism with a nexus, including an ideological or other relationship with a current trend in domestic terrorism in the United States. All right.
Well, wait a minute. Ideological?
Ideological, an ideological or other relationship with a trend in domestic terrorism, right? So here's the thing. You've got, let's just say you have James Fields, and he had his car accident, and that Heather Heyer died in that incident, okay? Whether it's a heart attack or she got knocked over or whatever, but at any rate, As far as the media is concerned, and probably as far as the courts are concerned, that was domestic terrorism. And then, so there's a trend in domestic terrorism. That was at the Charlottesville rally, and the Charlottesville rally was expressing grievances that white people have, expressing white racial grievances. So white racial grievances becomes a trend in domestic terrorism. And then, if we are talking to, or not even necessarily talking to, but maybe talking about, Golden Dawn in Greece, is that an ideological relationship to a current trend in domestic terrorism? And do we get scooped up in that broad net just because, you know, we also express racial grievances? Do we get caught up in it? What do you think? Am I stretching this too far?
No, you're hitting the nail on the head. They're spreading a broad net when they're targeting people for their ideology, for what they think, for their political belief systems.
So yeah, an ideological relationship. That doesn't have to mean like that we have any contact with anybody. They can just say that we've got an ideological relationship with Golden Dawn because we both oppose immigration into Europe or into our countries. If you oppose immigration and they oppose immigration, isn't that an ideological relationship?
Well, yeah, they could relate. Like, let's say you and I, we abhor violence. We don't support any violence of any kind, but we don't want our country to be overrun by third worlders. We don't want our Congress to be controlled by the lobby of a foreign country. But yet, Quentin Tarrant, is that his name? Who killed all those people?
In New Zealand. Yeah.
You know, he had some anti-immigrant ideologies. So we could easily be lumped in with him. And we could be associated with someone who has committed violence. And our peaceful ideology could be associated with someone with violent ideology. That's where this is going. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, I think so. So this is House Bill 3106. Look at Title II, Homeland Security Research on Domestic Terrorism and International Terrorism. Let's go to Section 201. And then paragraph B, contents. Okay? The contents submitted under subsection A, or I guess this is subsection B, shall include the following. Information on international terrorism with ideological, financial, logistical, or other connections to domestic terrorism. All right, so what does ideological mean? Well, it doesn't mean a financial connection because they've got financial listed otherwise, right? It doesn't mean a logistical connection. So you don't have to have any financial connection. You don't have to have any logistical connection where you're actually like speaking to each other. You just have to have the same ideas, not the same ideas, but just overlapping ideas, okay? And so let's just say maybe somewhere there is a violent, a violent group somewhere. I don't know of any violent groups overseas, but let's just say there was one. You brought up Quentin Tarantino, or what's his name? How about we call him Kiwi Tarantino?
Hey, we know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. So Kiwi Tarantino, and he published that 90-page manifesto. Wasn't that him? That was like if you were in New Zealand and it was found on your hard drive, that would be 15 years in prison. But
yes,
yeah, and I didn't read the whole thing, but I read parts of it, and you know, I didn't read the whole thing, so that maybe there was some crazy stuff in there. But I will tell you one thing: a lot of it was perfectly reasonable. But if I say it's perfectly reasonable, like I can't remember exactly what it is, but if he expresses displeasure at massive immigration into Australia or New Zealand, and we express displeasure with it, he is an international terrorist, and James Fields crashed the car. His car crashed and somebody died, and therefore there is a connection, an ideological connection between Kiwi Tarantino and everybody who went to Charlottesville, or everybody who talked about Charlottesville, or everybody who has some overlap in ideas about Charlottesville, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they're able to monitor trends online.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they could do is they could take the manifesto from the New Zealand shooter, and they could take things that we say on the radio, on this broadcast. They could take clips out of it. They could take quotes out of the Daily Stormer, out of the RightStuff.biz. And they can relate all of this into domestic and international terrorism. They could claim that that's what it is, and that it's all one movement, one front. And that's what I'm getting from.
Yeah, and before anybody accuses us of FEMA camp conspiracies and this and that, remember, you've got both Beto O'Rourke and Elizabeth Warren explicitly, like Beto O'Rourke said, and this is pretty close to a quote, that if he's elected president, white nationalism or white supremacy, I can't remember which term he used, will be his number one law enforcement priority. And Elizabeth Warren said that she will use the full powers of her office against, I don't know if she's saying white nationalism, white supremacy, or whatever, but the way they define white supremacy is just somebody saying it's okay to be white, literally, right? I mean, you put up a sticker, yep, saying it's okay to be white, and the police are called on you.
And that's going to be their downfall. They're spreading the net too wide. They're equating white supremacists, white nationalists, Trump supporters, mm-hmm, American patriots. They're putting us all into one category, and that's going to be their downfall.
Because, it's interesting you're saying that's going to be their downfall, and so you think it is going to be their downfall, and I think you're probably right.
I do, because they're being too vague with it, so that normal, everyday, average MAGA peeps who would never consider themselves racist or white supremacists, they don't know about the JQ. They just work their jobs. They're going to be thrown in this category of domestic terrorists. And they're going to be like, no, I don't think so. I think that's what's going to happen with them spreading this net too wide.
All right. So that's a big deal. And, we do our best to cover these stories, as do others. And, one thing is, they've got billions and billions of dollars. They've got the resources of government. They've got the resources of giant Jewish philanthropies, nonprofits. They've got university endowments, everything behind them. And then, we can't make a living doing this. They've got hundreds of thousands, millions, literally millions of people that they can pay to work on these types of things full time. And you've got to be painting with one hand and looking at your cell phone with the other hand. You've got your work painting. I've got my work trying to eradicate canine illiteracy, and it keeps us busy. And we can't do this full time, so we are the underdogs. But the thing is, it seems like they are a train that's just out of control, and they are out of control, and I think that's going to be their downfall, that they're going too far too fast. They were, a few years ago, it seemed like they were dancing a victory lap. Trump happened, and even though you could say Trump's all under control, they're going crazy. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the show. So, Jeremy, you said that you thought that spreading the net so wide to include magopedes and whatnot, that's going to be their downfall. I compared this to a train that's out of control. Do you have any response to my eloquent soliloquy before the break?
Well, no, you're exactly right. There's a lot of average, ordinary, everyday, working class people, patriots. They don't know about the Jewish question. You know, they're just they love America, and they're implicitly white. They implicitly support whiteness, and you know that they wouldn't dare want to be called racist, but they certainly wouldn't give their sons and daughters to another race in marriage. Now I'm talking about people around here, and these people, they're the kind of people that are going to be grouped into this category of domestic terrorists, right along with us who are considered white nationalists. And these are the people who I think we should win over and who would be on our side. And the establishment is making a terrible mistake in throwing the net so wide as to include these people, because they're going to include about 60 million plus Trump voters that will stand up to them. So I don't think this is lost just as of yet. And like I said, I think our biggest thing is don't throw Trump under the bus to the MAGApedes. Win them over. Keep working on them. It seems like it's a lost cause, but it's not. and let's just see what happens in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we keep working at it, that we'll come out on top,
yeah,
and the establishment will lose.
And maybe Melania can get Barron to smack his dad upside the head and knock some sense into him. We'll see about that.
Yeah. Make sure you give Melania my number, since she does contact you regularly. I have some things to say to her.
Okay. We'll do. We'll do. And then there's a Senate bill.
Senate Bill 386. This is something that we talked about on some previous episodes of National People Radio, where if you have money, you can come into the U.S. and invest in an American business and get a green card.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 386 is something that they've tried to sneak through, and we need to oppose it, call both your senators.
And Lou Dobbs says so too, right? Lou Dobbs, so you can't go
Lou
wrong.
Lou Dobbs recommends that you oppose it.
And you know, when you're talking about people coming over with, what is it, a few hundred thousand dollars and investing it, is that what they're saying? What's the amount of money that they're talking about?
500,000 to a million.
Okay. Yeah, and so basically, it's not as if this is money that's going to go into the national treasury. This is just money that they're moving from a, you know, Hong Kong bank account or Mumbai bank account. They just move it over here, and it could be a legitimate investment, but it's still something that they own. They could just be, you know, $500,000. $500,000, that's going to be, you know, a motel, that's going to be a quickie mart. What else could it be? Is it stuff we really need?
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly, I mean, all of the listeners throughout the United States, when you go to a local gas station and you see Indians owning it, or a hotel and you see Indians owning it.
Yeah, the motels by the road, yeah.
That's mostly the result of this.
Mm.
The Chinese, I call them the Chi-Coms because I'm a Rush Limbaugh listener.
Yeah.
I gotta listen to Rush I gotta do the jobs that normal American white nationalists want to do. I gotta listen to Rush to get a pulse on the conservative American exceptionalist listeners. To figure out what's going on, but the Chi-Coms are buying up businesses. They bought up a paper mill here in my area. I'm thinking about going to work there. I might turn into a Chinese communist. You never know.
Well, like I say, I'd rather be ruled over by Chinamen than by Jews. I really would. But the Chinese and the Indians are not likely to come over and murder and rape us and things like that. So in terms of immigrants, they are certainly the nicer variety of immigrants. But the fact of the matter is, the reason they're being brought over is not because they're nice. It's because they are going to crowd us out of, middle and upper management jobs and technology and, computer programming. We're supposed to learn how to code, and I know how to code. But I'm not going to get a job in coding and engineering. The reason they're being brought over is to crowd us out of jobs that Mexicans and blacks, just can't crowd us out of. So
yeah, exactly.
And we're going off to the break, but I want to hear what you say about that as soon as we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Welcome back. So the Chinese and the Indians, they're being brought over to crowd us out of jobs that the blacks and Mexicans are not qualified to crowd us out of.
Well, exactly. And this bill, you know, this allows them to come in and invest a minimum of $500,000 and get green cards. And this is how you see Indian families coming in and buying up gas stations and hotels. And they may, they'll bring their whole families over.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
this allows for them to bring spouses and family members.
And then, of course, you still have family reunification as the main vehicle for immigration. So then the wife can bring over the brother-in-law, and then the brother-in-law brings over his family, and on, chain migration.
Exactly. And here's the thing, is that in their culture, you know, like three families in a three-bedroom house is like not out of the realm. That's what they do. That's their thing in India. And so the main business owners will come over here that'll own the hotel at the gas station, and they'll be making, you know, $100, $120 a year, maybe, and they'll bring like the equivalent of three families over, and they'll be all living in a one family housing unit, and they'll be making good enough money to afford it, but like. Like, how does that affect the community, though?
Yeah.
Three families in a one-family unit.
I don't know. You know, I wonder if that happens so much with the families. I think it is more likely to happen with, like, student-age, yet-to-be-married people. that, you know, they, and of course you're seeing our own people in high rent cities having to do the same thing. Now, but yeah, it's probably more likely with the Indians. The Chinese, it's different. One thing about the Chinese is because of the one child policy, which was pursued for, you know, 35 years or so, most of the Chinese people who come here don't have brothers or sisters. And so the only chain migration that they can really do is bringing over their elderly parents. But with the Indians, they are coming from big families, and they can do these things. And, you know, whether or not they're living in crowded... because I heard a podcast, we probably heard the same one, where, you know, there was the accusation that the Chinese are living in very cramped quarters. I think that I've seen that in the past. I've seen that the Chinese doing that back in the 90s, for instance. I don't think it's as common now, because I think they're coming over, they have more money from the get-go when they're coming over, because China's much richer than it used to be. And they're coming in, and I see lots of, I know lots of Chinese who are much younger than me, and they're making, you know, six figures. They're doing very, very well. The Chinese are doing very, very well, and so don't really have to live in cramped quarters. But I think that's probably more of a historical relic that was done. And maybe with the very young unmarried people, there might be still some of that. But yeah, it's they're really trying to, they're getting us from all angles, whether it's this, whether it's you know, penniless refugees. It's like, I know there was a movie like this. I don't know what the name of the movie is. I've heard Dr. Duke talk about it, but there was some movie where you had, in the movie, there was like a Jewish friend. There was like a goy high school kid, and his parents were going away for the weekend, and the his Jewish friend convinces him to have a party, and like a big keg party at his house, and invite everybody over, and everybody comes, and they ransack the house. They destroy the house. And, you know, the Jewish friend is like, yeah, but wasn't it awesome? Didn't we have a great time? And isn't that what's going on now? I mean, don't we have, like, this Jewish media, this Jewish establishment, and they're telling our kosher certified politicians, and they're telling the voters, and they're trying to tell everybody how, you know, important it is that we just, like, have this giant party and bring everybody over, and isn't it great? That they've just taken our country, they've opened the doors, and everything's getting ransacked. Isn't that what's happening? Do you know the name of the movie I'm referring to, by the way?
You just named every 1980s Brat Pack movie that I know of.
Yeah,
you got to be a little more specific. I thought of Weird Science at first, but maybe there's another one.
It's one that Dr. Duke talks about. Yeah.
But no, I get what you're saying, and you know, we're talking about high-end immigration and how it's affecting our culture with the Indians and the Chinese coming in and buying us out. And then they're getting us a low-end, but at the end of the day, it results in a party that destroys the home of the hosts. And that's the point that you're getting at, correct?
Yeah, that's destroy and or dispossess. I mean, it's both. We're being dispossessed. So you've got Muslims and Haitians and Africans and, you know, maybe a lot of the Guatemalans come in, and, you know, with higher criminality rates and low literacy. And that's part of the reason for my wanting to eradicate canine illiteracy, is because then the dogs can maybe teach these people how to read. But, you know, they're coming in, and then, of course, they're bringing in higher-end people. And at the end of the day, white people are just getting squeezed out of everything. And you can't tell me that that's not by design. How could that just happen?
Absolutely is by design. I will segue you into an article that I sent you, though, that maybe this is a little bit of a white pill. Foreign purchases of American homes plunged 36%, as Chinese buyers flee the market. Did you happen to see this one?
Yeah, I saw it. I didn't read through it. I was trying to think because I follow those trends to an extent on the Nightly Business Report, which is a collaboration of, well, it's by CBS, or I'm sorry, it's by CNBC, and it's made for PBS, and so I can watch it without subscribing to cable, basically. And, you know, I'm wondering how much of that is really a reduction in Chinese coming over with money and buying things up, and how much of it might just be the trends in the overall housing market in the cities where the Chinese are most likely to be. And I don't know, but I'm wondering if that's really a white pill or if there's just some other explanation for it.
Yeah, I mean, they're buying less real estate, you know, now, but like I said, they're still investing in industry and business in the area, in our country. So, I mean, I don't know. Even if the Chinese came in and bought everything out, how bad would that be?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The Chinese, there's 1.3 billion Chinese, and you know, we've got 30% of El Salvador and 20% of Mexico. We've got like giant hunks of you know, these Hispanic countries that have moved over here. If you were to get 20% of China to move over here, this would be a Chinese country. It would be a Chinese majority country, because 20% would be 260 million. They would be the majority of the country. So that's the whole thing about the Chinese, is they are, you know, just by far the biggest ethnic group on earth. India has a population about the same, but, you know, the Chinese are one big ethnic group. The Indians are actually super, super splintered. There's not really an Indian nation. There's not really an Indian ethnic group. They're really, really splintered. It's because of the caste system, because of some other things. But yeah, that's the thing about the Chinese. Now, maybe this could be a segue into the next article, which was actually about North Korea. As far as immigrants, or, you know, non-white immigrants or whatever, as far as they go, as far as I'm concerned, the Koreans are about as innocuous as you can get. Yet they do come here. And part of the reason they come here is because they have, you know, universal conscription in South Korea. It's the South Koreans that are coming. You've got universal conscription in South Korea, and the army's not fun. Korea is actually a very nice place to live, but the army's not fun. And then plus, they don't have the huge university system that European countries or Japan has, and so it's very competitive getting into the schools. And so you get a lot of people coming over either to avoid the military, or because they want their kids to go to university, and there's a lot more universities here. It's a lot less competitive here, and so you're getting a lot of that. Here's the thing about the one of the benefits of Korean rapprochement, where North and South Korea stop being, you know, just on the brink of war with each other, is then the South Koreans don't need their universal conscription anymore, and then you're not going to have all of these people trying to avoid military service in South Korea. They're not going to be coming here. In fact, a lot of people would go back to Korea. They would, because everything would be so much better in Korea. That military confrontation is the one thing that keeps Korea from being like Japan, which is, you know, Tucker Carlson went there last summer and just thought it was so nice, and it is nice. And Korea has all of the potential to be such a nice place for Koreans to live, just like the ideal place for Koreans to live. You know why we never had Japanese baseball players here until, like, you know, relatively recently? It's because they didn't want to leave Japan. Why would you want to leave Japan? And Korea could be like that if there was a rapprochement between the North and the South. How far does that go in fixing our immigration problem? Because, like I say, I think the Koreans are about as innocuous of immigrants as you could have. But still, they do come here, and they do wind up with a lot of the higher end jobs that our people are being crowded out of. So that's one aspect. But what was the actual meat of this article on North Korea?
It's almost like Trump's not allowed to have any type of diplomatic relations with North Korea or Russia. I don't know why.
Was John Bolton mentioned in this article?
I'm sorry, say again?
Was John Bolton mentioned?
Bolton and his mustache, they seem to be a deterrent to peace with North Korea.
Wasn't John, maybe it was another article, but wasn't John Bolton being quoted as trying to throw cold water on everything, saying that, was he saying that it's unrealistic to think that North Korea is ever going to do such and such, as if we really care? I mean, I don't know. North Koreans were glad that John Bolton was gone, because John Bolton was talking about the Libyan model of disarmament of North Korea, and as you remember, what happened to the great leader of Libya is he got buggered with a machete, right?
Well, yeah, bayonet. Yeah. So here's the deal. I mean, North Korea want North Korea to talk to the U.S., but they want them to disarm first, and they want to disarm them and threaten them to give them the Libyan treatment. Kim Jong-un is like, no, not going to do that. And that gets everybody all up in arms. Here's the thing. If Trump could make peace with North Korea, could make peace with Russia, I mean, wouldn't the world be a better place? And yet that seems to be opposed by the establishment for whatever reason. I guess because we want to spread global homo North Korea and Russia.
Well, that's, I mean, the Jews, and Happy New Year, everyone. The Jews, at least in America, maybe not as much in Israel, but certainly in America, they resent Vladimir Putin for largely taking back control of Russia from the Jewish oligarchs. You know, when he took over, he was brought in as a puppet of the Jewish oligarchs. And maybe some people would say, oh, well, he still is. He's still got this. He's still got that. But the fact of the matter is, he chased, he put some of them in prison, and many others fled and went to Israel or went to Britain or America to, get away from Putin, because he wasn't going to let them dominate politics anymore. And then he's got a truce with some of them where they get to keep their financial fiefdoms, but they've got to stay out of politics. And it's not perfect, but it's more than anybody else has been able to do. And the Jews in America really resent him. A lot of the Jews in the establishment, you know, some of them, you got people like Julia Yaffe or Max Boot, who are actually born in Russia, and their families left because of anti-Semitism, which didn't exist. But, they just, because of the Jackson-Vanik Amendment, they were able to immigrate to the United States for, you know, the better financial opportunities and the better Jewish life or whatever. They were able to come here. But they've got a vendetta. People like Adam Schiff, who I guess his parents were from Russia. Lots of these Jews just have really, really anti-Russian feelings. So there's that. North Korea, you know, North Korea has technology ties with Iran, which is the great boogeyman. And then you got people who aren't Jews, but who are majors and colonels in the military. And they frankly like, it's great going over and having 2 years or 3 years in South Korea. It's a great assignment. And, you know, because... Where do you want to have an assignment? You don't want to have an assignment in Afghanistan. You don't want it in Iraq. Where do you want it? You want it in Europe. You want these bases in Europe. You want them in Japan. You want them in Korea because they're very nice. Now these you know middle ranking officers don't set policy, but some of them wind up becoming high ranking officers. They become flag officers, generals, and admirals. So there's some of that, but the real driving force is, like everything else in this society, I think, is Jews. Well, we're coming up on the next break. What are we going to talk about on the other side of the break?
Well, we got some bottom of the stack stuff, maybe some GM strike.
All right.
Updates, and then a former Wichita Falls pastor.
Well, let's get to that.
Christian Zionist says we might have a civil war if they impeach Trump.
Well, let's get to that. Okay, we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, is that a new music app?
Yeah, check it out. Surfer Music Discovery. It links to thousands of online stations, but the twist is you see the song names and artists that are now playing live.
That's different. No guessing. Looks like a waterfall of music.
So many formats. Rock, oldies, country, R&B, jazz, and a whole lot more.
How's that spelled?
Surfer. S-U-R-F-R.
Is it expensive?
It's free. No need to sign up or sign in.
Get the Surfer Music app free from Google Play or the App Store.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so first I guess we're going off to GM land. What's going on in GM land?
I just wanted to follow up on the GM strike. It's in its third week, and I was very excited about this, but my excitement has been turned into cold water and thrown down in my face because the workers, I guess the union doesn't have any kind of a fund to help these workers pay their bills. And they're getting bills due from not being able to work. And bottom line is the strike is hurting the workers more than it's hurting GM because GM is so big. And I don't know how much longer they can continue, but I really wanted this to cripple GM and to bring it to its knees, but I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Because the American worker is so downtrodden and not very well equipped for instances such as this. But right. I'm a little black-pilled on that, Patrick.
Well, we'll keep an eye on it. And what about this pastor? What's in Wichita Falls?
Yeah, that's another bottom of the stack we had. Former Wichita Falls pastor, Wichita Falls, Texas pastor, Robert Jeffries. Now, let me give the audience, because they might be out in Rio Rhinelander, a little bit of information. Robert Jeffries is like the main, like, he's not John Hagee status, but like, he is very Christian, conservative, Southern Baptist, pro-Zionist, Trump supporter pastor. He gives Trump personal, he's able to advise the Trump campaign personally, and Trump personally, like President Trump. He goes to President Trump's office and advises him. So Pastor Jeffries is stating that if the Trump impeachment goes through, that the evangelicals will revolt in large numbers. Now, and I find this interesting because when Trump was running, campaign Trump only had about half the support of evangelicals. I don't know if you if you realize this. You actually interviewed me right after the campaign. That's on RBN. But evangelicals held their nose and voted for Trump. But now they're all about some Trump. They're all about Trump being a prophetical president.
He's going to bring Jesus back.
And because he's so pro-Israel, he moved the Jerusalem embassy, the U.S. embassy into Jerusalem. And so for every five of us that Trump lost, of us, patriot, white nationalists, whatever you want to call yourself, for every five of us that he lost, he gained probably 15 or 20 evangelicals because of his pro-Israel stance. Anti-abortion and whatnot.
And I think you're probably very right on those proportions too.
Yeah, I mean, and in the same way that Pastor Jeffries is he's the main person in the evangelical movement. He is to the evangelicals what Rush Limbaugh is to the American conservative.
Okay, so we got about, what do we have? We got about, maybe another minute.
Yes.
So let's wrap it up. You wrap it up.
Well, the point of bringing all this up is to say that there is a large portion of Christians who I do not share their theological beliefs, but they will support Trump to the death. Like we've mentioned on this show and many others, that if the establishment does go against Trump, anything that goes against Trump, impeachment, anything at all, it's going to rally his base and his supporters. And in a revolutionary frame of mind. And we need to take advantage of that if it happens. That's what I'm saying.
That's fascinating. Well, thank you very much for that, and thank you for coming on this very special second anniversary episode of National Legal Radio.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.